Amen. I remember being told that the term Trinity is never used in the Bible. I do not remember who told me that, but it was a member of one of those faith groups that do not believe in the Trinity, such as Mormons, also known as Latter-day Saints, Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, or Christian Scientists, among others. Notice I say faith groups rather than denominations, because the denial of the Trinity, and specifically denial of Jesus as God, raises serious questions of whether such groups can be considered Christian. But I digress. The word Trinity implies three, just like the tri and tricycle means three wheels. The church's doctrine of the Trinity states that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three persons in one Godhead. They share the same essence or substance, yet they are three persons. The statement that the term Trinity is not in the Bible made me more sensitive to the many times in the Bible when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit appear together. Today's scripture is one of many that do not use the term Trinity, but unmistakably mentions the work of the three persons of the Trinity. All three persons, Holy Spirit, Abba Father, and Jesus Christ, are involved in Paul's statement to the Romans that we are children of God by a spirit of adoption and co-heirs of Christ. Speaking of the Trinity is notoriously hard. It is particularly challenging because many of the historic heresies have developed over disputes about the Trinity. An overemphasis of God is only one is a heresy and leads to denial of the divinity of Jesus. An overemphasis on God is three can turn into polytheism and a denial of our monotheistic roots. Like many theological doctrines, we have to be willing at some point to say that God is bigger than our understanding, and we are willing to embrace the mystery that comes with an infinite, eternal God. That being said, we also can and should say, I want to know more. I want to understand God better so I can truly love and obey God. Anselm of Canterbury famously prayed, quote, I do not endeavor, O Lord, to penetrate thy sublimity, for in no wise do I compare my understanding with that. But I long to understand in some degree thy truth, which my heart believes and loves. For I do not seek to understand that I may believe, but I believe in order that I might understand. For this also I believe, that unless I believed, I should not understand. End quote. As Reformed Christians, we believe seeking understanding is very important, but our salvation does not depend on our understanding. We seek to understand the God who has shown us immeasurable grace. And in order to love God back in gratitude, we want to understand. It's very much like all relationships. knowing everything about our friends and our family does not determine our love for them. But the more we know about them, the more we can show our love for them, right? The more I understand God, the more I can live my life in accordance with God's loving will for my life. So how does the doctrine of the Trinity make a difference in our understanding of God? How can God be both three and one? Or how can God be both one and three? Theologian Karl Rahner claims that if the doctrine of the Trinity were to be dropped from the church's profession of faith, the majority of Christians would not even notice its omission. And what is sadder, would have little or no adjustment to make in their faith life. End quote. Sadly, Rahner's observation speaks to our failure to consider what difference the doctrine of the Trinity makes and what the doctrine of the Trinity tells us about God and what difference it should make in our lives. One difference the Trinity makes to our lives as Christians is the understanding that God is more than a single powerful being out there somewhere. By overemphasizing God as one being, we tend to make God into an all-powerful autocratic ruler. By over-focusing on the oneness of God, we tend to think of God as being a distant king who's not involved. Many of the founding fathers of our nation, including Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, were deists who believed in this kind of distant God. If we think of God as only one, we lose the image of God in relationship. By affirming the Trinity, we affirm that God is inherently in relationship. And as creatures created in the image of God, relationship is core to our being as well. Now, this might sound odd, but we have been saying this all our lives. Have we not always said, God is love? And how can there be love without relationship? The triune God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, quote, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Seeking greater understanding of the God who is necessarily in relationship, the God who is love, is enhanced by thinking about the Trinity. I have to admit, I do not remember every sermon I have ever heard, but I do remember vividly one sermon preached by Bob Shelton, the former president of Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. In that sermon, he said that God is not defined by our concept of love, but God, who is love, defines what love is. That concept has really stuck with me. Sure, I've heard that God is love since I was a small child, but I'd never really thought before of God defining what love is. In some ways, we've allowed Hollywood to define what love is, instead of looking to God for that definition. I've always loved the movies, but thinking of love only by what we see in the movies is dangerous. Leaving the definition to the movies has fueled a cultural understanding of love as a feeling instead of a choice. The romantic, warm, and fuzzy love of Hollywood is not the love that God defines. The love that God defines is a love that chooses to love us while we were yet sinners, when we were the most unlovable. While the Christian definition of love is much different from a Hollywood feeling, it can be defined in romantic terms. Looking at the Trinity, St. Augustine of Hippo defined the three persons of the Trinity as lover, beloved, and love. Augustine's definition emphasizes the indivisible relationship between the three. A loving relationship requires all three: lover, beloved, and love. Now, this may sound like nice theory, but how does it make a difference to us? Because we're created in the image of the triune God. We are created in the image of love. Think about this. Would saying God is love mean as much if we did not have the doctrine of the Trinity? If all we had was the concept of God as one, we would lose the idea of the love of the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for the Father, and the love between them, that is the Holy Spirit. Thinking of God as Trinity gives us the benefit of thinking of God as relationship. Thinking of God as relationship is not new. The internal relationships that make up the community of the Trinity can be described as a dance. John of Damascus, an 8th century theologian, coined the term that has experienced recent enthusiastic rebirth across the church: perichoresis. There's more than one explanation for this word. One is mutual indwelling. Another is that the Greek word comes from combining the Greek word peri, which means around. Think of the perimeter of something. That's measuring around. Which can be translated, peri can be translated as around. And choresis, which can be translated as dance. Think of our word choreography. Perichoresis is a way of understanding how three can be one. Three dancers in a circle are participating in one dance. The one dance can only work if the dancers cooperate and work together. Theologian Shirley Guthrie describes this as, quote, "The oneness of God is not the oneness of a distinct, self-contained individual. It's the unity of a community of persons who love each other and live together in harmony. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live only in and with and through each other, eternally united in mutual love and shared purpose," end quote. When we think of God as dancing around a circle in mutual love and harmony, doesn't it make sense that we're created in the image of God and also called to live in mutual love and harmony? The church is supposed to be that kind of fellowship, modeled for us by God. Last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, we read how the church was born at Pentecost by the action of God the Holy Spirit. We read how God, in the person of Jesus Christ, invited us to the dance, and said that God in the person of the Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost. And indeed, God in the person of the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. and empowers us even today to join the dance. Today we see how God, the three in one, is calling us to join the dance. Today we see that the Trinity is God in communion with God's self and seeking to be in communion with us. So, how does God seek to be in communion with us? Richard Rohr tells a story of a time when he went on a silent retreat. During the retreat, he found a book by Catherine Lacuna entitled God for Us. This book revolutionized his understanding of the Trinity. He came to understand how God the Father, expressed throughout the Bible as God for us. Furthermore, Jesus, through the incarnation, became human and became Emmanuel, which you know means God with us. And as we learned last week at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit indwells us with God's power to be the one we were created to be. As such, the Holy Spirit is God within us. We worship a triune God who is indeed God for us, God with us, and God within us. So what does this mean for us today? The church can say to the local community and to the world that we believe in God, who by God's very nature is loving and desires for us to live as created in that image. We believe in God who is demonstrated throughout Scripture and throughout history that God is for us. We believe in God who demonstrated through Jesus Christ that God is with us. We believe in God who fills us with God's life and God's Holy Spirit, who is indeed God within us. The church can say that we believe in the triune Lord of the dance. Come dance with us. Amen.